This is April 1st, 2020. Our study tonight is found in Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. God's wrath on Jerusalem when his patience had run out. Psalm 103, verses 8b to 9 in the New International Version claims the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. But that does not mean his patience with rebellious sinners is eternal. It is not. Ezekiel 24, 1 to 14 is a lesson on the venting of God's wrath when his patience has run out. A passage we do well to apply that we address any sin we might still harbor lest God's patience run out on us. I'd like to start with a word of prayer tonight and then we'll look at the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to fellowship around the Word of God. We thank you for this passage that was written by a man of God who was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And we ask, Father, that we would understand the Word through the illuminating ministry of the Spirit and then apply it in the power of the Spirit as we live a life of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. Again in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of this same day. The king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day. And utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Set on a pot, and also pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it also with choice bones. Take the choice of the flock, and burn also the bones under it. Or actually the logs under it, and make it boil well, and let them seethe the bones in it therein. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the city of bloodshed, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece, let no lot fall upon it. For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of a rock. She poured it out, not upon the ground to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come up to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock that it should not be covered. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, woe to the city of bloodshed, I will even make the pile for fire great. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, spice it well, let the bones be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot, and it may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten, and that the scum of it may be consumed. She hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth from her. Her scum shall be in the fire. And thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee. And thou must not purge, thou shalt not be purged from my filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back. Neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Okay, on January 15, 588 BC, God told Ezekiel to record that date because Babylon had just begun its siege of Jerusalem that very day. Ezekiel had been predicting this day for 4 years. And it was so significant that this date was also mentioned by the writer of 1 and 2 Kings in 2 Kings 25:1, and also by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 39:1 and Jeremiah 52, verse 4. Now Ezekiel was to utter a parable to the rebellious house of Judah as given in Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 3 through 5 as follows. A cooking pot was to be set over a fire with water put in it for boiling. Pieces of choice meat were to be put into the water in the pot, the choice pieces of the thigh and the shoulder, and choice bones for flavoring were to be added to this meat, much like we would cook broth and so forth. These pieces of meat and bone were to come from the choicest animal of the flock, apparently a sheep. Under the pot was to be put logs to get a hot fire going to boil the meat and to seethe the bones in it for flavoring the food in it. Now, this is preparing supposedly for a meal that is supposed to be good. This parable was then explained by Ezekiel as introduced by the statement both in Ezekiel 24:6 and in Ezekiel 24:9. The statement, "This is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the city of bloodshed." I'm quoting from the NIV, the New International Version. Now, both explanations give God's charges of Jerusalem's blood guiltiness that produced the current punishment. First, Jerusalem is like a pot now rusted, whose rust had not gone out of it. But through the boiling of the water in the pot, that rust had risen to the top, ruining the meat that was cooking in it. Of course, the rust is likened to the blood guiltiness of the nation. So like a rusty pot used to try cooking even choice meat, only to see the rust loosen in the pot, the hot water, and float to the top, ruining the choice meat that was in it. The blood that Jerusalem had spilled had not even been poured out on the ground to be covered with dust, but had been put on a rock in full exposure. This is a picture of Jerusalem's people not even shedding blood in secret, but openly murdering innocent people. Maybe instead of killing people in the middle of the night when no one else would see, they would oftenly do it out in front of other people. They weren't even ashamed of this terrible crime. So God urged that the meat be removed piece by piece without choosing any of it to eat. And of course, if you have rust in the pot or corrosion in the pot and it's mixing with the meat, it's going to foul the flavor and everything else. The meat is spoiled. So the whole thing's a waste. Second, then God directed that more logs be heaped onto the fire under the boiling pot to mix in the spices and let the bones in the pot be burned up. In other words, you're going to boil the water right out and the bones in it will actually end up being burned up. Then the pot was to be set upon the hot coals, taking it off from the skewer over which it was hanging, and actually let the pot sit on the hot coals over which it had been heated, that the pot might become extremely hot, that its copper might glow and its unclean corrosion be melted and burned up. See, what's upsetting God is the corrosion, which is the sin. So in order to get rid of the sin, in order to take care of the issue of sin, he's taking the pot and cooking everything up, taking the meat out, the choice meat and so forth, but letting it cook until everything dries up, and then taking the pot and putting the pot down on the coals, where they sit right on the coals, which will make the copper pot, the brass pot, actually glow, but the corrosion in it will be burned up. He's going after the corrosion, the sin. Now, this illustration would depict how Jerusalem had refused to be cleansed of her wickedness by the Lord, just like the pot retained its corrosion. So God would vent his wrath on her in the city's fall to the Babylonians, like the pot itself being heated to glow in the fervent heat of the coals until its corrosion had been burned away. So God promised that he had announced this punishment, that he would not recant his words, that he would not spare or relent, but punish the city of Jerusalem according to her ways. Now this is a very sobering passage of scripture, because what God is saying is Babylon has begun to attack, and I'm not going to back off, or I'm not going to change my mind. It's already gone too far. We're beyond the point of no return. And this is what's going to happen. Jerusalem is going to be like a pot that is going to have the scum in it burned out of it. It's going to be judged, and it's not going to be pretty. So this demonstrates there is a point where the wrath of God will come. His patience is worn out. God is patient. He's very long-suffering, but boy, there is a point where the hammer falls, and when the hammer falls, that's it. There's no retrieving. So the lesson is the illustration of the cooking pot pictures the great loss of human life that would occur in Jerusalem's fall to Babylon due to the great wrath of God against the city for its blatant sins and unrelenting rebellion against him. Though God had wanted to remove Jerusalem's sins from her in grace, she had refused to repent and even openly continued to commit great sins. So God's patience had finally run out, and he was in the process of severely punishing the people of the city in tremendous wrath. So in application, may we realize that though God wants to be gracious, to forgive us of our sins and remove them far from us so that he might bless us, if we keep cleaving to our sin, He will eventually vent his anger on us in great punishment. So if we're harboring any sin in our hearts right now, may we immediately confess it and turn from it. Right now we're in the midst of coronavirus pandemic. Get my words here straight. And from everything I can see, I believe that it's judgment from the Lord. When you look at the hundreds of thousands of preborn infants that have been murdered openly, flagrantly, in abortion on demand in this country and around the world, in many places around the world, and this pandemic is actually worldwide right now, I can't help but think that God, the fury of God, is reaching out to the world and saying, I'm not pleased with this. And if we think of the tremendous form of idolatry in the form of materialism and the lust for money that is now worldwide, I can't help but think that the Lord is not happy with it. When we look at the tremendous immorality, free love, and so forth that has been going on ever since the sexual revolution in the 60s in this country and in other places and so forth, and you think of the tremendous amount of immorality, people divorcing and remarrying, sometimes multiple partners. Divorce in God's eyes, according to Scripture, is a form of adultery, and that's actually a capital offense in God's eyes. But you think of what's happening in the breakdown of marriage and the home and so forth, this is infuriating to God. So, you know, it's amazing that this type of thing hasn't happened before. But what we need to do is, if we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior right now, we need to get right with Him. We need to believe in Him. There is a time coming when God is going to judge this world in great wrath in the great tribulation that is still in the future. We're not in that yet. We're in a sort of a mini situation right now. But God is going to judge this world. So if you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't accepted Him, I would urge you to believe in Him now. You might be forgiven your sins and be saved from the judgment that is to come in eternity. As believers, if we are harboring sin in our hearts and our lives, and it could be sin in regards to our lack of faith in our walk with the Lord, or maybe we've done that which is wrong in God's eyes in a greater way. Maybe we've had an abortion. Maybe we've been through a divorce and remarriage situation. Maybe there are other sins we've committed. Maybe we have lusted after material things. It could be anything. But we know it's in violation of the Word of God. What God wants us to do is to confess it to Him, 1 John 1:9, that we might find forgiveness. But then turn from it. Because God is a God, He's very patient. He's very kind, He's very compassionate, He's very loving, but He's righteous. And eventually He has to deal with sin. And if sin is not confessed, He'll punish it. So may God help us to examine our hearts and lives. And if we do need to make the correction, to make a correction. Now in saying this, I don't want to put some Christian under a false guilt. I'm not trying to say that just because coronavirus pandemic is occurring, that you, if you're listening, are the cause or you're the sinner. I'm not saying that at all. But if you know for sure that you're violating the Word of God in some area, this whole pandemic is a wake-up call. It's a shot across the bow of our boat. God wants us to get that thing cleared up so that we can be holy, be righteous, and then He can pour out His blessings upon us.